Welcome to IP Management Voice, the podcast spotlighting leading minds in IP and IP management. This series supports the IP Business Academy's call for subject matter experts to share insights, foster reflection, and strengthen the global IP system. Join the conversation via our newsletter and explore cutting-edge content on D-Plex. The content featured in this episode on IP as a leadership tool comes from Benjamin Del Sol.
Okay, let's try a little experiment. Close your eyes for a second. I'm going to say two words, and I want you to picture the very first thing that pops into your head. Don't overthink it. Ready?
I'm ready.
Intellectual property.
Okay, well, I know what I'm supposed to see. Innovation, assets, the future, all that. But if I'm being totally honest, I see a basement. It's kind of dimly lit. There are these stacks of beige legal files everywhere, and there's a guy in a suit whose only job is to say, no, you can't do that.
Exactly. The Department of No.
Yeah.
That is the gut reaction most leaders have to IP. It's a cost center. It's a bottleneck.
A total migraine. It's the thing you deal with after all the fun, creative work is done.
Right. It feels like this tax you have to pay on innovation.
Yeah.
But what if we just flip that completely? What if instead of a dusty basement, you should be thinking of a weapon of mass construction?
I love that phrase, weapon of mass construction. And that really is the heart of what we're unpacking today. We're looking at intellectual property not as a legal chore, but as a primary leadership tool. We're talking about a concept called IP design.
And to guide us on this, we're diving into the work of Benjamin Del Sol. Now, usually IP experts are, you know, career lawyers.
Right. 30 years reading contracts.
But Del Sol's background is, well, it's pretty unique.
To say the least. Yes, he's a European patent attorney. But he also has a PhD in quantum nanoelectronics.
Wow.
And a diploma in cognitive neurosciences.
So you've got quantum physics, brain science, and international law all in one person. That's kind of terrifying.
It is, but it's so important because he bridges that gap, the gap between hard science, how our brains actually create ideas, and the legal framework to protect them. He's not just looking at the law. He's looking at the whole system of innovation. He has this great line about his mission.
What's that?
He says he helps companies turn their brain juice into money.
Brain juice into money. I mean, that's the knowledge economy right there, isn't it?
It really is. It cuts right through all the jargon.
So that's our mission for this deep dive. We're going to explore how leaders, whether you're a CEO or a project manager, can stop seeing IP as a headache and start using it to actually design the future of your market.
Let's get into it.
So first things first, we need to define our terms. When Del Sol talks about IP design, is that just a new fancy name for the patent department?
No, and that distinction is so critical. It's the word design. Traditional IP management is reactive. You invent something, you build it, and then you call the lawyer and ask, hey, can we patent this?
And that's usually when the lawyer says, nope, someone already did that 10 years ago.
Exactly. That's reactive. IP design is proactive. It's the strategic creation of a whole portfolio of assets, patents, trademarks, copyrights, trade secrets, often before the product is even fully built.
Okay, hold on. Before it exists, that sounds, I don't know, a little risky. How do you protect something you haven't actually made yet?
Well, you're not patenting a ghost. You're defining the territory you want to own. Del Sol argues that the old command and control leadership style is just dead. You can't just order people to be innovative.
Right. Innovate now.
It doesn't work. You have to create the conditions, the framework, where innovation can happen. IP design is that framework.
I hear you, but let me play devil's advocate. Usually, when you put a framework around innovation, you kill it. Engineers hate guardrails. They want to move fast and break things.
That's the paradox, isn't it? But Del Sol argues that IP design is more like a catalyst, not a cage. Think about it like a safety harness. If you're walking on a steel beam 50 stories up, and you know you have a harness that will catch you, do you move slower or faster?
Faster, for sure. Because I'm not terrified of falling to my death.
Exactly. It provides psychological safety. When a leadership team uses IP design, they're basically telling their R&D team, look, we've scouted the terrain, we found an open space in the market, and we're building a fortress around it. Go wild inside these walls.
So it gives them focus. It stops them from wasting time on things they can't win.
Focus and security. You're aligning that brain juice with the business goals from day one.
That alignment piece is so interesting. It suggests that IP isn't just a legal thing, it's a culture thing.
Oh, it's 100% a culture issue. Del Sol makes a really strong point here. You can't have legal in one silo, R&D in another, and marketing in a third. and expect this to work.
Which is how basically every company is set up.
Right, and it's a mess. DelSol says they have to be talking before the project even kicks off.
Can we look at a real-world example of that? Because culture can feel a little abstract.
Sure. Let's look at Google. DelSol uses them as an example of what's called strategic human resource management, or SHRM, as a form of IP design.
Wait, HR. I thought we were talking about patents. Now we're talking about hiring.
We are. But think about it. Where did the patents actually come from?
From the people. The brain juice.
Exactly. Google creates what they call a conductive work environment. They treat their human capital as the literal source of their IP. So they use all their own advanced tools, AdWords, social recruiting, to find the specific minds that can generate the IP they need for the future.
So recruiting isn't just about filling a job opening. It's about acquiring the raw materials for future innovation.
Precisely. By designing a system to attract and keep that talent, they are designing the machine that builds the IP. That's step zero.
That's a really powerful way to think about it. It takes IP out of the legal basement and puts it on the CEO's desk next to talent strategy.
It has to be there.
Hey, are you an IP expert with a focus topic you want to share? Then you might be just the right fit to become an IP subject matter expert at the IP Business Academy. It's a great opportunity to build visibility for your expertise and reach new clients through a trusted academic platform. You'll be supported in creating digital content, LinkedIn strategies, and outreach to your target group. If you're ready to raise your profile and position yourself as a thought leader, get in touch with us. We'd love to hear from you. End of advertisement.
Okay, let's get into the mechanics. DelSol lays out three pillars for using IP as a strategic tool. What are the three levers I need to be pulling?
The three pillars are visionary planning, risk management, and value creation.
Let's break those down. Visionary planning. That sounds a bit like corporate jargon for guessing.
It can be if you do it wrong. But what DelSol means is using patent data as a kind of crystal ball.
How does that work?
Well, a patent is a public document. It shows where a company is investing its R&D budget. So if you analyze the patent landscape, you're not just seeing what's on the market today. You're seeing what your competitors are planning to launch in 3 to 5 years.
You're basically spying on their roadmap, but legally.
Yes. You map out the white spaces, the gaps where no one has staked a claim yet. Visionary planning is about saying the market is moving there, so we're going to file our patents there before anyone else even shows up.
You're buying the land before the highway gets built.
That is a perfect analogy. You're securing the rights to future innovations.
Got it. Okay, pillar two, risk management. This one sounds more defensive.
It is, but it's proactive defense.
Yeah.
It's all about a concept called FTO, freedom to operate.
What is that exactly?
Okay, imagine you want to build a house. Before you even buy the land, you check the zoning laws to make sure you're allowed to build there. FTO is checking the zoning laws of technology.
So you don't spend millions developing a product only to find out you can't legally sell it because a competitor has it blocked.
Which happens all the time. It's a nightmare scenario. FTO analysis clears that path before you invest the time and money. It makes sure you have a green light to innovate without stepping on a legal landmine.
So it's about clearing the road so you can go fast.
Exactly.
And pillar three, value creation. This must be the money part of brain juice into money.
This is the payoff. When you do the first two pillars right, you end up with a portfolio that creates real barriers to entry. You've built a moat around your business. Mm-hmm. If you're the only one who can legally offer a solution, you have pricing power. But it's also about licensing. Maybe you develop a technology that could be used in a completely different industry.
You can rent out your IP.
You can license it out and create a whole new revenue stream with almost pure profit.
I want to see this in action. The theory is great, but the real world is messy, especially now with the whole digital revolution.
Oh yeah, things are getting much more complex. The line between a physical product and a digital service is almost gone.
Right. A car is a computer on wheels. A thermostat is a data device.
Exactly. And DelSol points to a company called LQEL. They make water filters.
Water filters. Pretty analog.
It used to be. But LQEL designed the IP around the entire digital ecosystem of the user, not just the physical filter, but the whole customer journey and the digital interaction.
So they protected the way you get the water.
Right. But the real masterclass here, the one DelSol really focuses on, is Hansgrohe.
the bathroom fixture company.
The very same. They have a project called Rainfinity.
Rainfinity? Sounds like a sci-fi movie.
It's pretty high tech.
Yeah.
They decided to completely revolutionize the shower. They asked, what happens when the bathroom goes digital?
I'm trying to picture a digital shower, like a touchscreen on the wall.
It's way more than that. It's programmable water scenarios.
Right.
It's algorithms that control different spray modes to hit your body in specific ways. It syncs with smart home tech like lighting and sound. It's a whole personalized experience.
Okay, that sounds really cool. But from an IP standpoint, that's got to be a nightmare. You've got plumbing, software, hardware, user interface.
It's a huge web, and that's why they needed IP design. They didn't wait. They secured patents, trademarks, and designs very early in the process.
They saw the shift coming.
They bet that the bathroom was the next smart home frontier. And by locking down the IP for the mechanics of the digital spray and the interfaces, they built a massive barrier to entry.
So if a competitor, say Delta or someone, wants to make a smart shower, they can't just copy the concept.
They can try, but they'll run into a wall of patents around the experience. Hansgrohe didn't just patent a new nozzle, they patented the digital interaction. They built a fence around a new market segment before it even really existed.
That is visionary planning right there. They saw the future and they bought it.
Exactly. And Delsol actually breaks this down into what he calls the five concepts of digital leadership. It's basically a playbook for anyone who wants to do this.
Let's run through them. What's number one?
Number one is agility.
Okay, this is where I see a potential conflict. Agility means moving fast. IP is slow. It takes years to get a patent. How do you square that?
That's the biggest challenge. You can't wait for the patent office. Delsol argues that agility in IT means your strategy has to move as fast as your product development. You use tools like provisional patents to secure a filing date while you're still iterating. Legal has to keep up with the dev timeline.
So legal has to learn to work in sprints.
They have to. What's number two?
Vision.
Right. It's not just having a vision for the product, but having a vision for its protection. The two have to be developed together.
What's number three?
Empowerment. This goes back to culture. The Hansgrohe engineers could push the limits because they knew the company was building that protective framework around them.
They knew the company had their back.
They knew their breakthroughs would be valued and protected. It encourages them to take bigger risks.
And number four?
Collaboration. We've hit on this a few times, but it's vital. R&D, marketing, and legal had to be in lockstep for Rainfinity to work.
If they're not talking, you either launch something generic or you get sued.
Precisely. And the last one, number five, is customer centricity.
Which sounds like basic marketing, but how does it apply here?
This is the ultimate reality check. You can get a patent for almost anything. You could patent a toaster that also blow dries your hair.
Please don't invent that.
But if no customer actually wants it, that patent is completely worthless. It's just a piece of paper. Hansgrohe protected the shower experience because they knew that's what the customer would value.
So don't patent the technology for its own sake. Patent the value it delivers.
That's it. If the IP doesn't protect something a customer will pay a premium for, it's not an asset.
This is a huge mental shift.
Yeah.
I think most leaders still see IP as just a box to check. Did we file the patents? Yes. Okay, great. Moving on.
And that's why so many companies fail to actually profit from their best ideas. They treat it like paperwork, not weaponry.
So let's zoom out. For everyone listening, from founders to executives, what's the first step to applying IP design tomorrow?
You don't fire your lawyers. You need them. But you change the conversation. The big takeaway from Delsol is that your ideas are your most valuable assets. But an idea without a design to protect it is just a dream.
It's a hobby, not a business.
Exactly. You have to stop playing defense. Bring the IP strategy to the very first meeting. Scout the terrain, build the fence, and then build the house.
Treat ideas as assets to be designed. I really like that framing.
It's the only way to build sustainable growth. If you don't build those barriers to entry, you're just warming up the market for your competitors.
And that brings me to the final thought I want to leave everyone with today. We talked about Hansgrohe claiming the digital shower before it was really a thing. They put a fence around the future.
A very profitable fence.
But look at your biggest project right now, the one that's eating up all your resources. Are you just building a product? Or are you building a fence around a future market?
Because if you're not building the fence,
someone else probably is. And you really don't want to be on the outside looking in.
You don't.
Benjamin Delsol's work is a fantastic reminder that the best defense is a great offense, even in the sometimes dusty world of patent law. Thanks for diving deep with us today.
It was a pleasure.
We'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening to IP Management Voice. If there's any topic you'd like us to cover in this podcast or on the content platform DeepLex, please get in contact and let us know.